Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a great Sunday afternoon. It's been a little hectic here. The reason is one of my monitors just decided it was going to be a little troublesome right at 1 minute before showtime. So as a result, I was a little late. Sorry about that. The concept for today's show is pretty simple, and I don't know how long it's going to go for. It really is going to be dependent on you. There are some folks who have written with questions. I'm going to address, you know, a few of those questions, actually a couple of more salient ones, and try to provide some answers for that. And also, the phone lines are open. And so what we're going to do with that, well, basically is invite you to give a call so that if you have any questions, you can ask as well. Now, these phone lines work the worldwide, across the face of the earth. So if you're in Russia or China or India, it doesn't matter where you're at. Even if you're in the United States, Canada, Mexico, somewhere in South America, Africa, wherever you might be, phone lines are open. And you can call in. If you're calling from another country, then this is what you would do. You're going to use your browser, use headphones, use a microphone, and you're going to use right there at the top of the screen, right up there. And that's how you'll connect with us. It'll be just like a phone call on Skype, except it isn't. It's really a phone. If you happen to be in the United States, Canada, or maybe you can't call from Canada this way, but if you're in the United States, this is the number that you would use. It's 928-212-2103. So to jump right into it and to give you some idea of the question that was really the one that brought this to mind, when I posted that old archive from the fellow named Zeke, that was a pseudonym. His name actually is John Dean. And that recording, I want to give you some of the backstory on it and then address the questions that have come in about it. The backstory is basically this. This was in the early days when it was before I ever met Kevin Smith. And I knew that I wanted to do radio. I wanted to do broadcasts. Actually, I've always wanted to, but I never really had the equipment for it, the time for it, and, of course, the budget for it. So consequently, I decided I can do this on my own. So with, of course, not just on my own, with Kathy, of course. But what I did is I got a cheap microphone. That's why it doesn't sound very crispy and clear. But I got a cheap microphone, a couple of them actually, and an analog mixing board, cables, some cheap headphones, and made a nice, you know, recording on the computer. I had a computer at the time, so I made an audio recording on the computer. The editing that went into it, that was all done on computer, of course, and the end result was I had a show that I could put out, and I thought, you know, this is a great proof of thesis. I can do this. I didn't have the inner drive, for example, that Kevin Smith had. I mean, he was doing shows from East Timor, which is over in Asia, and he would record them onto a cassette and then using, well, let's just say government facilities, he would upload to a server, then put out on his newsletter, I've uploaded the next show. And that's how he would do it. And, you know, he's told me stories before he passed about how he'd be sitting in a hut with a cheap cassette held up to his face and just talking. Those are the early days of the Kevin Smith show, but he had a drive to do it. And I'd been listening to Art Bell like a lot of folks had and others. I think, I don't remember if Jeff Rince was out there at the time or not. There's Lou Gentile, who's since passed also. And a number of other folks I knew I could do it. Everybody said, you have a good radio voice. Why don't you do this? So I did. And the first and only guest that I had was Zeke. Zeke Crossfield is what he called himself. He didn't want to go by his normal name because he was deep into investigating some pretty serious ancient sites. And like a lot of folks who are in this kind of an endeavor, they don't want people to know who they are. Well, I haven't heard from John Dean in several months, but as I understand, he is not doing too well. I do intend to give him a call to follow up on some of the things that were in that recording, because I know you'd find that interesting. But anyway, that's how that recording was made, and that's the behind-the-scenes look at what went into doing it. That recording sat on a hard drive unused for nearly 20 years. It was right after we made that recording that, let's see, we'd already gone to Peru and come back down to the Tecachi Valley and all that business, which someday I need to do a show about that too. And we were staying in a friend's apartment, contemplating what our next move was, and we decided to go on the road. And so for the next year, maybe year and a half, in a beat-up old Suburban, we took off and we drove around the United States, and that was the beginning, really the inception, of us becoming somewhat of a nomadic gypsy, going around to different places and just exploring the U.S. It was a great time, exhausting occasionally, but it was a really good time. And we saw so many places. We have great memories as a result of that, I'm sure you can imagine. The people we met, the things we did, places we've seen. And of course, if you know anything about our history, we went from that to a newer Suburban after a jaunt of living in South America a couple of times, a year at a time. Went around the United States again in a different Suburban and spent another year and a half, maybe longer, doing that. And then after that, we got into a van, a 15-passenger, one of these vans you see hauling people to church, a big one with windows. We got one of those. And we went around the country again, another 18 months, more or less. Revisited several of the spots we've been to, went to a whole lot of new places we hadn't gone to. And after the van, we eventually got into the Phaeton, which is really a lot more comfortable than the van. It it has room to walk around, and you can actually go make a cup of coffee or park beside the road and take a nap if you're needing a nap. Anyway, it's been quite a journey, and the years just have blown by. But getting back to this recording, it sat on a hard drive in storage for almost 2 decades. I was going through some hard drives. I still have several more to go through. And I saw this, and I thought, interview with Zeke. I don't remember who Zeke is, so I listened to it. And it sounded pretty terrible, really. The technology just wasn't there. So I decided I was going to run it through some of the newfangled audio equipment that we have. There's very specialized plugins for restoring audio. I use those. And the end result is what you heard. Balanced, a little bit better than the original. Well, I'd say maybe a lot better than the original. Probably still not up to par with recordings such as this one, but it was still a much better recording, something that I wouldn't mind you hearing. So I continued looking on this hard drive, and there was another. I had been interviewed by a fellow named Lou Gentile. He had his own radio show, like so many other folks at the time, syndicated. And I started listening to it. It was, again, the audio wasn't that great. So I ran it through the plugins, the audio equipment that we have. It started sounding better and better. So I have that one I'm going to put up soon. And then found another one, an interview. Basically, not really an interview. It was a conversation that Kathy and I were having where she was reading questions. I was making up the best answers I could. And it has to do with healing. And like I said, folks, this is like 20 years ago. So I want to put that up soon as well. And I know there's some others. I can't recall off the top of my head what they were all about, but these are just audio recordings. We wanted to do video, but really back then doing video, it just wasn't happening. The upload speeds were very slow. And when you record video, it's a huge file. Now, at the time, we had a 500 gigabyte hard drive. It cost $500 for a 500 gigabyte hard drive. To give you some idea, and I mean, this thing was big. It was just big. But to give you some idea, I want to show you something. You see this? I don't know if you can see it or not. Try to get it up here a little bit more clearly. Why is it doing that? You see how thin this is? This is my fingers, and this is the hard drive. It's a Samsung. It's a 1 terabyte. That's about $200 now. So how much is a terabyte versus a gig? Well, 500 gigabyte. You need 1,000 gigabytes, as I recall, to make a terabyte. And this thing is solid state. There's no moving parts. In the hard drive, well, there were quite a few moving parts. It's like a record player, as most analog hard drives are. Anyway, let's get to the question. One of the questions had to do with that interview with Zeke. And I was asked, do we know where this place is located, where the fellow got the information? Now, if you haven't heard the recording, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. In the recording, Zeke is talking about this fellow who came across information. He's from Utah. And he came across this information on how to treat water, to infuse it with platinum, silver, gold. I guess that was all. And the idea was it's supposed to be very useful and helpful and improve your health. I can't really vouch for doing any of that, but to get a bottle of it was quite expensive. But because Zeke was good buddies with this fellow and promoting it for him, Zeke had a liter bottle, like, Coke product comes in, Pepsi product comes in. And so he had 3 different liters of water, gold, platinum, and silver. And you look at it in the light, and it had a little bit of a sheen to it, not much. In other words, it had some opalescence. So I thought, oh, that's pretty interesting. He says, wait till you drink it. He says, here, just uncap the bottle, hand it to me, take a drink. So I took a drink, and I just about dropped the damn bottle. Because you see, as it touched my lips, there was a spark, kind of like when you rub your feet across the carpet and touch a doorknob. That kind of spark came out of that bottle onto my lips. What a surprise. The water tasted good. And so he capped it, handed me the other one. Here, try this. This is platinum. This time I was ready, brought it up. Snap. Threw a charge onto my lip, took a little sip, capped it off. Now try this one. This one's gold. So I tried it, same story. An electrical spark jumped to my lip. Now, we were left with those bottles. Zeke left them with us. We drank all the water that was in there. And every time you would take a drink out of it, even when it got down to the last little bit in the bottom, you would touch it to your lip, it would throw a spark into your lip. Each one of those bottles. What a mysterious thing. I don't know how that's even possible, but it did happen. So Zeke was telling us about the fellow who had located, we use the word temple very loosely. We don't know what it was. Maybe it was an ancient scientific facility. But regardless, this fellow had found, while he was digging around in the mountains in Utah, he found an underground something that he called a temple, and it had instructions. And somehow, I guess, he was able to understand the instructions because he went back home and he built this thing, this device that would charge the water. And, of course, Zeke, I believe on the recording, he's talking about how when it's being charged, the water takes on this weird blue glow. And when it hits a certain luminous nature, the water is fully charged. Now, I don't know anything about the machine. I'd like to know more, just like you. But when I was asking Zeke, could I talk to this guy? Where is he? I'd like to find out more about it. It's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. I'll introduce you to him. We can have that conversation. I'm sure he'll talk to you. But what happened after that interview is that there were a series of events to where we had to leave where we were living. And we decided it's time just to go on the road. And besides, we really didn't have very much cash at all. Going anywhere was an expense. Going on the road was a real big risk. But we did. And we never got around to meeting that fellow. So do I know where this place was? I have no idea, except it's somewhere in Utah. I don't know who the man is. I have not talked to him. And I'm hoping that Zeke is still among the living so that we can have that conversation and ask him about this. Because it really stimulated my curiosity, and we're in a position now where we can just drive our home, wherever he is, park, and go investigate it, which is what I'm hoping will happen at some point in the future. So to answer the question, do I know where the temple, quote-unquote temple, is? No, I have no idea, except it's in Utah. Side note about Utah, there are quite a number of very unusual sites that have been found in Utah. And these are evidence of an advanced civilization. And these aren't just weenie sites or indigenous sites where there's just a few petroglyphs and it's a fascinating look back into time, maybe a few hundred years ago or 1,000. We're talking more than 1,000 years ago. You see, at one time, there was a vast inland ocean. It stretched across, really, from Utah. I'm trying to think how far. It probably went as far as the Rocky Mountains are now, but it started getting smaller and smaller. But it went all the way across to Oregon. If you watched any of our videos, I think it was last year when we were in Oregon, we were on the western side of what was once that great inland ocean. And that would be around a town called Paisley, Oregon, if you want to look it up on a map. So we know that it was there. And in the middle of this lake, apparently, there were some mountains now called the Wasatch Mountains. This extended down into it, and there was a civilization that existed there. When all the earth changes occurred, a lot of these places, I guess they must have been underground, I don't know. But they got buried, or their entrances became obscured as a result of landslides or earthquakes. But there still remains huge repositories of the unknown in Utah. And it's a fascinating place. So when you hear about Skinwalker Ranch, for example, for me, you know, they're talking about something underground. It's this very strange energetic signals coming from there and all this. I just attribute it to this lost civilization. No idea who they were. I don't think really it's known. But they were there. And now all that's left of this vast inland ocean is Salt Lake around Salt Lake City. That's all that's left of it. But there were, at one time, some pretty fantastic cultures living in that area. All right, so to continue on with some of the questions, another question I had was, do you plan on going back to this, going looking, you know, and as I just mentioned, yeah, if we can find out the information, we will go, because we want to know more about this anyway. Another question that we got had to do with Board Camp Crystal Mine. One person wanted to know, really, you were sitting there in the dark and a crystal just fell out of thin air? Well, we don't know where it fell out of. But as you remember, when we were aboard Camp Crystal Mine, there were some strange things that occurred. And there was this instance at night. Kathy and I are sitting there with our son and his new wife. They were on their honeymoon with us. Imagine that. With Orville and his wife and their grandson, just sitting there, kind of, it's not totally dark where it's, you can't see anything, but it's just dark. And we're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden you hear this sound. It sounds like something hit the floor and rolled. So we get up to investigate, and about 30 feet from us on this wooden floor, there's this crystal. That wasn't there before, because there's only one way to get to where we were sitting, and you'd have to walk right through there, and you had to use flashlights to get there. And of course, you're looking at the floor when you're using the flashlights. So, no, it wasn't there. It just happened. And then shortly after that, maybe 5 minutes, it wasn't that long, there's another small sound more close to us. And flashlights go on, people are looking, and right behind Kathy's chair was a feather. Now, a feather wouldn't have made that kind of sound. I don't know where the sound really came from. But anyway, there was a feather just lying there behind Kathy's chair. No one, I didn't see anyone put it there. I didn't see anyone do anything with throwing a rock. I mean, these things just, I don't know if they materialized. They were placed there somehow, though. There's a lot of strangeness going on aboard Camp Mine, and I suspect that we will go back there at some point to take a look into it more deeply. You know, we were there for a few days. The Murphys are wonderful folks, really nice people, good hosts. So, yeah, we'll probably go back there, and when we do, we hope that maybe some of you who are watching this would be able to join us. And of course, if you can't, then we'll have to probably have to do recordings, because we didn't really have a cell signal while we were there. But who knows? Maybe next time Starlink will be up and available. It is running already, and we're signed up for it. And if we have Starlink, then we can do a broadcast from any place we choose. Any place. So if that's up and running, we'll of course be doing live broadcasts from a lot of different places that you wouldn't suspect. But if not, then we'll have to just record and let you folks know what's going on or what has gone on. So as I said, the phone lines are open. I'm inviting you to take a moment, call in, and ask a question. I'll leave it open for us a little bit. If I don't hear from anyone, I will close it down, because this kind of show is dependent on questions. And I've answered the questions that I felt were most salient for those that I've just received. So if I don't get any questions, of course, the show's going to close down pretty early. While I'm waiting for that, let's talk about some of the archive video from Expeditions TV. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it or not, but there are several videos that Kathy and I produced, both while we were living in Peru a couple different times, and also during our travels back and forth from here to there. I don't remember now, 15 or more of these short documentaries. Every one of them has a backstory. We covered things rather extensively, at least I think we did, in the making and production of those videos, but there's still material that's the backstory, things that aren't included in there. And it might just be that in the coming days, I will dig out one of those and we'll go through one of the videos and try it and see how it works, playing the video, talking about it, and having you hear some of the details that weren't included in the video that if you weren't there, you wouldn't know about. If that sounds like something interesting, then drop us a line and let us know. Because, you know, if we don't hear from you, how would we know? All righty. Well, I don't see any callers coming in. I'll give it another 3 minutes, and then we'll close down the calling system. Something else that, speaking of those archive videos, something else that's just occurred. There is new software that can take a video like the ones that are in the archives. And some of these videos were recorded not in 16 by 9, like the picture you're watching now. They're called 4 by 5, which is more of a square picture. Anyway, the resolution is 525 lines. The resolution on this that you're watching is 720. Maximum resolution right now is broadcasting at 4K. We don't have the bandwidth to broadcast at 4K. And I choose 720 because, well, that's the easiest to broadcast and not have any glitches. It still delivers a good image. Anyway, many of those videos were recorded at 525. And instead of being progressive, which is a very good picture, it was interlaced, which is, kind of a blurred picture, let's say. This new software, we just got it. This new software will allow us, I'm told, to put the video in there and tweak it, kind of like I did with the audio file, and have an output that is really what we're looking for, a much higher quality output. I don't know if it's going to be 16 by 9, because actually, once you record in 5 by 4, if you're going to turn it into a 16 by 9, you have to sacrifice some of the video, and I'm not sure I want to do that. But we should be able to get a much higher quality, high-definition video if it works the way they say it does. We do have a caller. Let's take the caller. Just give me a second here. Caller, you're live on the Jerry Will Show. Your name and where are you calling from, please?
Hey, Jerry. This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yeah, hi, Brent. Hold on. Let me just adjust your levels up a little bit. For some reason, yours are always kind of low. Go ahead.
This is off topic, but I'm just curious. How is your new PC working for you guys?
Oh, it's working wonderfully. You know, I've always been just, I don't like PCs, you know? But I'll tell you what. Of course, this was built specifically for doing these shows and for, you know, video editing. But the shows, most specifically. And it is absolutely amazing. You remember I used to have problems where I was running the microprocessor at like 98% and the whole show would just kind of crash and just go bad. But right now, let's take a look at the stats on this. I'm using about 18 to 20%. So it's working amazingly well.
Good. Good. So I'm just curious as to what do you think your quality of broadcast, your recovery quality on some of your old shows is going to be like? I mean, I know the software is out there. You've got the machine to do it. I'm just wondering, how long does it take to go through one of those shows and recover it?
Well, considering the shows are about, let's say, 20 minutes long. I mean, they're varying lengths, but let's just say on the average 20 minutes. I'm told it's an hour per minute. I don't know. I've not tried it yet. As far as the quality goes, the quality would go, if you've looked at any of them, and I know you have, there's a little on the blur side compared to what we have today. You know, at the time, they were state of the art. It was the best you could do. But the quality that I've seen that really sold me on this software is they took something very similar to what we have, ran it through there, and it came out looking amazing. Edges were very nicely detailed. You could see details in the face, details in the scenery that we couldn't have seen before. Now, I do use another piece of software that these folks make that takes a photo, and it will do the same thing to just a photo. And then that process is just seconds. And wow, what a difference. So I figured if it makes that kind of difference on a photo that doesn't look very good, then it probably is going to work remarkably well for these videos. So we'll have to wait and see.
All right. I couldn't think of any other pertinent question. I just kind of curious as how the machine's working for you.
It's working really good. I'm really happy. Good. You know, PCs are clunky. They are clunky. It's not streamlined and smooth and swift, you know, friendly to use, let's say, as a Macintosh computer. And those you can fly through and use it. But these, you have to think what you're doing. It's more of a mechanical action using these in the process of getting things set up. But right now, I've got several things running simultaneously, which I could never have done on the Mac. And everything is running just beautifully. You know, I've got a digital mixer here, effects in the mixer. I've got the phone lines operating over there. I've got the broadcast software operating over here. And it's just, you know, where's it at right now? 17% CPU. So, I mean, it's just gliding by, and it's working great. So we're happy with it.
And you're less than 20% processor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, usually cool. Way less, you know, but I've got a lot of stuff running right now. So that's the reason why it's using a bit more.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, I'll let you go. So you guys take care.
Well, thanks for the call, Brent. Appreciate hearing from you.
Yep. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was nice hearing from Brent. Anybody else out there want to call? It's time to do it. Okay, next thing I want to make you aware of is what's happening on Wednesday. You see, on Wednesday, we're going to be leaving here and heading for Nebraska. I don't even know if you know where we're at. Most of you probably do, but we're in central Arizona. It's about a 1,400-mile journey. It's a journey that takes us from here across New Mexico. Typically, we go north into Colorado and go from one end to the other of Colorado, And then after that, we go east on Interstate 80, right into Lincoln, Nebraska. It's not a difficult journey, typically. The only thing that would make it a bit challenging is if we ran into bad weather. And so far, it looks like we aren't going to have any bad weather. So that's what's happening on Wednesday morning. So here's the scoop. Last time we were in Nebraska, there was very poor internet. I think I could do better on my phone than I could do on the system in here. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to have any programming while we're in Nebraska, unless something has changed, and something might have, because there's always changes being made, you know, in these crazy phone systems. But if not, then I'll have to give you updates in a different way, probably messages, let you know what's going on. If there's anything that I can do as far as if there's any reason to do pre-recorded shows, then I will. But it makes it difficult to do a show when you don't have internet because the guests that you would have, well, you have to have internet to bring them in. So it's likely there's going to be not much in the way of programming for the next couple of weeks. I don't know when we're leaving Nebraska, but of course we'll let you folks know. Now, on the way there, while we're there and past that point, we do have the GPS beacon, and it's available to all of our patrons. If you don't have the information, get a hold of me and ask, and I'll make sure you get it. But you should have it. It has a map, and on the map, it will generate a pin. Excuse me, every 10 minutes, drop a pin. So you're going to see it's not going to follow the roadway specifically. It's a series of lines connecting each other wherever we're at. But anyway, that's going to be running. And periodically, because we do have the Expeditions camera, then we'll key up that camera and broadcast a live signal from the dash of the Vaden, so you can look around and see what we're seeing. You can even see me driving if you want to. In order to be able to do that, there's a couple things you need to do. It's real simple. It's called Waze, W-Y-Z-E. So you get the, or Wise, I call it Waze. Anyway, you get the app on your phone. Android, iPhone, your tablet. I don't think they make anything for your PC or desktop, but it is for mobile devices. Make up a username and so forth. Go in, get an account with these folks, and pay attention to the email that you used when you made the account. Because you're going to send that email to me once you've done it. I'll put that in on my end, and once it's done, you'll be connected to our account, and anytime I turn the camera on, well, you'll be able to watch. And I usually send out a message on Patreon, similar to the ones you've already gotten, that says the camera is being switched on, or it is switched on, and you can take a look. Now, with this camera, you can zoom in, zoom out. You can look left or right or up or down, rotate the damn camera all the way around one way to the other. You can look all over the place. So you have the ability to use it to look around while we're driving, just like if you were there with us. Big fun, isn't it? All right. Let's see if there's anything else that I'm forgetting. I don't think so. I believe that's just about everything. And we don't have any other calls, and I really don't have anything else to answer. I can't think of a thing at the moment. So, let me shut off the call-in studio line Give me just a second, and I'll deactivate it. The reason I'm doing that, you probably don't know this. This phone system, once I hook up to it, there's a charge per minute being hooked up. And so far, I've been hooked up for almost an hour. So it doesn't cost you anything to call, ever. But it costs on our end. But that's what is part of your support for the Jerry Will Show goes towards, something like this. Just like those dandy plugins that made the audio sound that much better, or the new software is going to create a much better looking video than what's up there currently. So your support is really, really valuable. We don't use any of that that support money for ourselves. It doesn't go in our pocket. We don't spend it on anything for ourselves. It goes directly back into the show. And if we don't spend it all, then we save it up. And then if we get to a point to where we need to buy a bigger item, then we have a little bit of cash on hand to do that. And like this computer, for example, this software that I'm using for broadcasting, I mean, it all is very expensive. So consequently, it's because of your support that it's possible at all. All right. With that said, I want to thank all of you for being a part of this today. And for those of you who are watching after the fact, if you had a question, I wish you had sent it in, because no one sent any questions in. There's no questions here at all from anyone. So if we do this again, send in your questions if you have any. All right. Well, I guess it's time for me to fade away. I do have some things I need to get done here. I've got to do some new wiring up on the roof of the Phaeton for the floodlights, part of the security system. And I think we're going to put a new sink in back here. The old one is just, well, you know, old sinks look old, right? Yeah. It's not the sink, it's the faucet, though. The old faucets look old. The sink actually looks great. No problems there at all. But the faucet's bad. All right, so we're going to be doing some things between now and Wednesday morning. If you have any questions or comments, please contact us. Let us know. And I will let you know the next time something is going to be happening so that you can tune in and be a part of it. As soon as we get to where we have a good internet connection, we'll be doing another show. Until then, it'll be a little sketchy. We were not sure when or how, but we will have something for you as soon as possible. All right, everyone. With that said, I am just going to fade away. So I want to thank all of you for being a part of this today. And I'll see you next time. Have a great afternoon, everyone. Talk to you later.